following is a podcast of Thrive, a high school ministry at Victory Family Church. For more details, see thriveatvictory.com.
Really? That was it? Can you guys get excited? Not for me, but just for the night. There we go. Well, sweet. What's up, everybody? You guys can all call me Bubba. That's fine. Everyone say, what's up, Bubba? Everyone doing good tonight? Yeah. So how many of you guys have never met me or never... We've never connected. You have no idea. How many of you guys know me? Just so I know who I'm talking to. Okay, so the bulk of you know me. Just a little bit about me if you don't know me. My high school sweetheart is my wife, and I did see she was here today. There she is. My beautiful wife, Laura, is right there. We've been married for 4.5 years, and we just had our first baby girl, baby Olivia. I should have brought pictures, but I didn't. But she's the best, cutest baby ever. She's 5 months old. And life is awesome. I work at Light of Life Rescue Mission. Has anyone heard of Light of Life? How many of you guys have never heard of Light of Life? No one wants to say no. So Light of Life is we're a homeless rescue mission. So we help the homeless every single day of the year by providing food, shelter, and hope, education, employment, and all kind of things. So if you guys ever want to come down and serve, I'd encourage you to come check it out. It's a great ministry. I've been there for almost 6 years, which is kind of crazy to believe. But that's it. That's enough about me. Let's just pray. And then we'll get into the Word of God. God, I just thank you so much for this time together. God, I thank you for this ministry, Lord. I thank you for Thrive. I thank you for 19 North. And I thank you for Pastor Zach Del Turco. Lord, I thank you just for the call you have on his life and all the leaders that are part of this ministry, Lord. I thank you that you've gifted each one of them to play a specific role in this ministry. And Lord, I thank you for every student that's here today, Father. We open up our hearts to what you want to do in this time, Father. This is your time. And you say in your word, where two or more are gathered, you're there. So we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're here. And we open up our hearts to what you want to do, Father. I pray that you would speak to every single person in this room, something, Father, whether it's something I say or something you just whisper to their heart. Lord, I just pray that everyone goes home closer to you than they were when they came here. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. All right, everyone say this. Say, I'm quick. Oh, come on. Say, I'm quick. I'm sharp. I'm good looking. I'm hot lunch. Come on. Everyone say, I'm hot lunch. Come on. Say it like you mean it. Say, I'm hot lunch. And I'm a major blessing to everyone around me. And you guys are like, that's the cheesiest thing I've ever heard. But really, what I'm talking to you guys tonight about failure, but you need and I need, I'm preaching to myself more than anyone, we need to learn to speak well of ourselves. And we need to speak well to ourselves. And we need to believe what the Word of God says about it. Because too often, if you're like me, we walk around and let thoughts like you're an idiot, you're a failure, you're worthless, you're ugly, you're insecure, you're all these things. And we allow, man, the enemy and all these dumb thoughts to shape who we are instead of letting who God is, God says we are, shape who we are. So I just want to encourage you, man, learn to speak the Word of God over to your life. I want to talk to you tonight about failure. My message tonight is, as you are not your failures, has anyone ever failed at anything? Has anyone ever failed a test? Keep your hands up, okay? Has anyone failed a class, like the entire legit class? Okay, now we're getting to my kind of people. How many of you guys have ever failed a grade? Anybody? How many of you guys have had to go to summer school? How many of you were like me? I went to summer school every year. It's the only reason. All right, there we go. I'm not saying that's good. You shouldn't do that, but... How many of you guys have ever, what other failures have you had? Just shout them out. How many of you, I'll just play some. How many of you guys have ever gossiped about someone and they got caught? How many of you guys have ever betrayed a friend and then they found out? Right? Man, we all have, our lives can be plagued with failures. How many of you guys have ever, on the positive side, tried something that you wanted to do? Maybe it was lead a Bible study or lead someone to Christ or something like that and you failed. You were trying to do something good, but it just didn't work out. See, all of us have experience with failure, but what I want to talk to you about tonight is how you look at and how you deal with failure will determine so much in your life. My key thought for the night is actually a quote by John Maxwell, and there's two that I'm going to share. I think I only put one on the slide, but he said this. He said, when it comes right down to it, I know of only one factor that separates those who consistently shine from those who don't, their perception and response to failure. Another way he said it was, the difference between average people and achieving people is their perception and response to failure. And I'll just pull that into the church world. I would say the difference between people who last in the long run for God and go all the way with God versus people who quit and just walk away from God has a lot to do with how they look at and deal with failure. I've seen so many people time and time again in their Christian walk, they start going after God, they're all fired up, and then they have a failure, they sin, they mess up big time, and they allow it to isolate, they stop going to church. Then all of a sudden, they're either living the same lifestyle they did or living a lifestyle they never did because they don't know how to deal with that failure and the guilt and the shame that comes with that. And so I think it's vitally important that we learn to handle failure. I'm going to be talking to you specifically about two kinds of failure. I'm not going to focus a lot of time on good failures, but I do want to mention it because failing can be a really good thing if you fail at the right things. So this is what I would consider good failure. Failure, these are good failures. Failures while you're taking risks for God or while you're trying to do something good. This is why I ask, how many of you guys have ever tried to do something good? Maybe you started a Bible study or a club in your school or did something great. It's okay when you have those type of failures. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, this is the Great Commission. This is Jesus. This is basically all of our mission. He said, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given them, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said, therefore, go. Everyone say, go. Go. He said, therefore, go. The verse isn't up there, but therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's our mission, guys. And I want to encourage you, if you really love God, you should be thinking through how you can do that in every area of your life. If you play sports, you should be thinking, how can I lead my sports team and lead for Christ while I'm on this sports team? Whatever grade you're in, you're only going to be with those students for so long in your life. How can you impact your grade? How can you impact your school while you're in high school? Because I got news, you're not going to be in middle school and high school forever. You're not going to be around the people that you're around right now forever. So how can you make an impact on them? And anything, I'm here to tell you that anything you risk doing for God to make an impact on people, it's okay if you fail. And obviously, it's even better if you succeed. But man, God wants to honor you when you're willing to take risks for the kingdom. I don't know, have you guys ever, I don't even really know what these are, so I shouldn't talk about them. How many of you guys have heard of Spanx? Spanx? Is it weird that a guy's talking about them? I hope these aren't like inappropriate. Hey, does anyone wear Spanx? Spanx, aren't they're for women, aren't they like ladies, like yoga pants? Spandex, same thing. What's up? I don't know a lot about women's pants, but my point is it's not about Spanx. The woman who created Spanx is a multi-billionaire. Like this lady made what is it? Pantyhose?
No, they're like underwear that sucks you in.
Underwear that sucks you in. This lady is a billionaire because she invented underwear that allows you that sucks you in. That sounds kind of weird. It sucks you into a black hole and then you disappear. That's actually, anyway. So then you just buy everyone's banks that you want to disappear. Anyway, all right, I have ADD. I'm all over the place. But the woman's a billionaire, and she got interviewed, and I thought it was so interesting. They said, what made you so successful? And she said her dad, every day that she would come home from school, middle school and high school, he would say, what did you fail at today? What did you fail at today? Because he wanted her to be okay with taking risks. Good risks. Now, if she was going to say, like, oh, I became a drug addict today, like, that's a different story. But he rewarded that, and as a result, she wasn't afraid to start a business and try something. And I want you to have the same courage that she has. And you know what? You may fail. Thomas Edison, the guy who invented the light bulb, he said this. He said, I've not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. He tried over 10,000 times to actually invent the light bulb. Didn't do it, but he didn't fail 10,000 times. He just simply found 10,000 ways not to do it. Listen, God has a plan for each one of your lives, and just because you failed once doesn't mean that God's not going to use you again. You may have just found a way that wasn't as effective as it should be. Some quotes to encourage you on good kind of risk that I love. Erwin McManus said this. He said, a world without God cannot wait for us to choose the safe path. If we wait for someone else to take the risk, we risk that no one will ever act and that nothing will ever be accomplished. Listen, your high school, there's people that don't know God. And the reality is that they can't wait for you to choose the safe path. If God deals with your heart to do something, man, just do it. Step out. I have a concept in my life, always be leading something. What are you leading right now that can make an impact on people? Because the reality is there are people all around you who desperately need what God put in you. But if you don't step out and do it, man, you're robbing them of what God put in you and what God wants to do. Bill Hybels said this. He said, God delights in pouring his favor on obedient risk takers. I love that. God delights in pouring his favor on obedient risk takers. When was the last time you took a risk for God? When was the last time God dealt with your heart to do something and you actually stepped out and do it? We need to be doing that awesome. Think about if you were just willing to take one risk for God every day. Think of the impact that you can make. Think if you talked to one person about God every single day. Think if you stood up for someone else who believed in Christ every single day. You can make a huge impact. Mark Batterson said this. He said, the more you're willing to risk, the more God can use you. And if you're willing to risk everything, then there's nothing God can't do in and through you. I love that. And then last one, Stephen Furtick said this. And man, this just is awesome. He said, I despaired the thought that my life might slip by without seeing God show himself mightily on our behalf. If you want to see God use the people who are used in magnificent ways by God are people who aren't afraid to step out, and they know that God will always show up. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, God, I didn't try anything for you because I was so afraid of failure. I was so afraid to fail that I never did anything for you. I don't want that to be me, and I don't want that to be you. Let's just, men, be willing to take risks day in and day out. It is okay to fail when you start pursuing the dreams that God put in your heart. That's the good kind of failure. But I don't see a lot of people go the wrong way because of good failures. Where I do see people stop pursuing God in their walk with God is when they have a bad failure and they just don't know how to react to it. And Luke, bad failures I define by this. Failures that leave you feeling guilty, depressed, isolated, and discouraged. Has anyone ever failed at anything and felt any of those things? Has anyone failed and felt guilty, depressed, isolated, and discouraged? In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus said this. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story that they should always pray and never give up. I mean, I don't know about you. I would think that if I was one of the disciples and hanging around Jesus all day, that I would never want to give up. That I would just wake up every day so fired up to do what God called me to do and do it and do what he put in my heart. But it's clear that Jesus had to tell them a story to never give up. Jesus wouldn't have had to tell them stories to never give up if there weren't going to be times in our lives when we follow God that we're not going to want to give up. There's going to be times where you want to walk away. There's going to be times where you fail and you want to give up. But I'm here to tell you, man, Christ wants you to never give up. I love that. Never give up. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, never give up. Galatians 6 verse 9 says this. It says, let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. But I found this, that one of the biggest ways that Satan defeats us is by telling us that when we've messed up, we've gone too far. We've gone too far. No one's failed as bad as us. No one's struggling with what I'm struggling with. No one's done what I've done. I'm all alone. I'm the only person that's ever experienced this level of guilt, shame, and actually done this. And then all of a sudden, you start feeling depressed. You start boxing yourself in. You start isolating yourself. You stop hanging around the right people. And man, your life just goes downhill real fast. It's one of the fastest ways that I see Satan work in people's lives. And people end up quitting. I want to encourage you by looking, you may have seen this before, but I think it's worth sharing. I want you to look at some famous Bible failures. These are people who didn't quit, and yet they still had some pretty significant failures. The slide should be up there. But listen to this. These are some of the big Bible heroes. Listen to what they did with their lives. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a tempter. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was legitimately a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossip. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Zacchaeus was short. I love that that's on there. I'm like, I never thought about that, but yeah, I guess whoever made that up, it wasn't me. I just stole it from someone, but that's hilarious. If you're short, you're a failure. I'm just joking. Don't edit that out. My wife's short, and she's not a failure. Zacchaeus was short, Abraham was old, and Lazarus was dead. And listen, it's easy to hear about their stories and know what they did, right? David defeated Goliath, and he was a great king. But put yourself in their shoes. I mean, think about this. David legitimately had an affair, and not only did he have an affair, he saw a beautiful woman out on the rooftop bathing. He ended up having an affair with her. She was married. Not only did he do that, then he basically killed her husband, because he couldn't deal with the fact that he had done that and he didn't want him to find out. Now, that legitimately happened. Can you imagine the depression, the discouragement, the fear that it would have came alongside of that? or Paul was a murderer. Think about it. Paul in the New Testament spent half of his life literally killing Christians, saying, kill that man, stone that man, hang that man, kill, 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 kill. Murder. I mean, the other night, our baby fell and she had to go to the emergency room. And I literally, my heart sunk so deep in my stomach, I felt like I murdered my daughter. Now, she's fine and she's alive, but man, I just started feeling those same feelings of, oh my gosh, what if something's wrong? Then I failed. And I want you to put yourself, like, listen, all of those guys had those exact same feelings and dealt with the exact same things, but they never gave up. And because they never gave up, God used them in a significant way. And he won't just do that for them. He'll do that for you. Zig Ziglar said this. He said, failure is not an event. It's not a person. Yesterday ended last night. Failure is an event. I want you guys to learn to see failure as an event. Failure is not who you are. Your identity is not in what you've done and what you haven't done and how bad you are. The reality is in Christ, your identity is in him. But if you're not careful, you can think that you are your failures. And that's what I want to challenge you with tonight. You are not your failures. You are not the worst thing you've ever done. I love what Zach Blair used to say. He used to say, you may have done what other people say you did, but that doesn't mean you are who other people say you are. And regardless of your track record, man, in Christ, you're a brand new creature, and God can do anything in and through your life. And even if you're caught in the middle of it right now today, man, you can repent and get right with God and be awesome. Do not define yourself by failure. I don't care if you guys went out and partied last night and went crazy. That's not who you are. You can get back right with God today. You are not your failures. And so to illustrate this, I just want to share the story of two different Bible failures, and this is what we'll spend the rest of the time with. One is Judas, and one is Peter. Judas, you guys probably know him. He betrayed Jesus, right? He's the whole reason Jesus ultimately went to the cross. And then Peter was one of the disciples who was just crazy, always trying crazy things. But they both experienced failure, and the reality is they almost basically did the same thing, but how they reacted to their failure and how they dealt with their failure was totally different. And I want to show you the difference today. Let's look at Judas real quick. All we see about how Judas responded to failure is in Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5. And I would say this is a bad response to failure. It says this, it says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. And remorse, I'm like, I kind of know what that means, but I looked up in the dictionary. It means a deep regret or guilt for a wrong committed. Have any of you ever felt remorse, just like Judas, right? He betrayed Christ and he felt a deep regret and a guilt for a committed wrong. So he took 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and the elders, and he said, I have sinned, he declared, for I have betrayed an innocent man. And they said, what do they care? They noticed, that's your problem. And Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. It's not an exciting scripture to read. But man, he was so filled with remorse, so filled with guilt, so filled with depression and discouragement. He didn't know how to deal with that. And man, he ended his life. And I'm not saying that that's the reason that you'll end your life, but I see people walk away from God because they get filled with the same regret and remorse that Judas did, and you'll see that Peter did, and they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to go to God. They don't know that God loves them unconditionally and that they can be right, they are right with God right then and there, even in the midst of their failure because of what Christ has done. Judas was ultimately separated from God because he didn't know how to handle his failure. So let's look at a good response. How should you respond to failure? And we'll spend the rest of the time looking at Peter's life. So Judas betrayed Jesus, and you guys have all know Peter denied Jesus. I'm sure you've heard the story. But let's just read it real quick. Peter denied Jesus in Luke chapter 22, 54 through 62. It says, then they seized him and they led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looked closely at him, said, this man was also with him. And just for context, I didn't mention this, but before this, Jesus basically called Peter out. Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. I'm all in. I'm the toughest disciple. I'm the most tenacious disciple. I'll never quit. And Jesus looked at him and he said, Peter, before the night's over, you're going to deny me three times, and when you do, you're going to hear a rooster crow. So Jesus called him out on that, and Peter was basically like, no, I'll never do that. So here this woman sees him after Jesus had been betrayed, and it says, and she said to it, this man was also with him, meaning Jesus. And it said, but he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. Betrayed number one. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour still, another insisted, saying, certainly this man was also with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, when he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Immediately. So exactly what Jesus said happened would happen. And Paul, Peter, who thought he was invincible, who thought he would never fail Jesus, man, realized very quickly in a very short amount of time that he could fail him very quickly. And here's the verse I want you to read. Verse 61, it says, then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, and he said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever failed so much that you went out and wept bitterly? Can I be honest with you? When our daughter fell the other night, I wept bitterly. Like, I ran upstairs in my room and just cried into a blanket because I felt like such, man, I just felt so discouraged. But have you ever felt like that? I mean, put yourself in Peter's shoes. Jesus actually looked at him. Have you ever betrayed someone or denied someone and actually have them find out about it? You talk bad about behind someone's back, you deny them, you deny that you're a friend, they don't think you're cool, and all of a sudden they find out, and you act all buddy-buddy with them. Then they hear all about this, and they look you in the eye, and you realize that you betrayed them. I mean, can you feel that feeling inside? I don't know if you've ever felt that, but can you imagine what Peter felt like? And it said that he went and wept bitterly at his failure. And I can't imagine having Jesus look into my eyes and experience that. And so many of us can do the exact same thing. We can go and weep bitterly and just beat ourselves up day in and day out. So there we see Peter's failure. But I want to point out something that Jesus said to Peter before Peter failed. And I think this is extremely encouraging. And hopefully it will help you see how Jesus views failure. Before any of this happened, in Luke chapter 20, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said this to Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded for you in prayer, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. This gives us a little bit of insight on how Jesus views failure. Jesus knew that Peter would fail. But listen to three things he said. One, he said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. The first thing I want you to realize is, man, the Bible is real. And if the Bible is true, there really is a heaven, there really is a hell, there really is a God, there really is a devil. And Jesus said that the devil desires to sift you like wheat. Like he doesn't just want you to like have a bad life. Like he wants you to straight up die. He wants all your kids to die. He wants you to die. He wants everything you touch in life to die. Period. Satan desires to sift you like wheat. The second thing I want you to realize is that Jesus is praying for you. I love this. He said, yeah, while that's true, I've pleaded for you in prayer, Simon. And you could put your name in there. Man, there's an enemy that wants you to die, but Jesus is praying for you on a daily basis. I was praying for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. And then lastly, he said, when you've repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. So the third thing you can see is, hey, when you mess up, you can just simply repent and get back on your feet again and go back to doing what God called you to do. You do not have to let failure define you and limit you or limit your walk with God or what God can do in and through you. You can repent and keep pursuing God. So I just want to talk to you based on what Jesus said. What do you do when you mess up? What do you do when you're Peter and you just deny Christ and you're weeping bitterly in a pillow and you don't want to go out? You don't want to see the other disciples. You don't want to go to church in the morning. What do you do? The first thing you need to do is repent. Repent. And this is a word we don't talk about a lot in church, but repent just means that, man, you basically repent before God, say, I'm sorry, and then you turn and you change your ways. And the Bible talks about two kinds of repentance, and I always like bringing this up. But in 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says this. It says, for the kind of sorrow, again, Peter was weeping bitterly. Here's some sorrow. The kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret with that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. There's two kinds of repentance when you fail. You're either sorry for what you did, which was clearly what Peter was feeling. He was regretful, sorrowful, etc. Or you're just sad you got caught. How many of you guys have got caught? And you weren't really mad about what you did. You were just mad and sad that you got busted. Anybody? Is anyone honest? Man, And you're like, I'm not sorry. I'm just sorry I got caught. That's not biblical repentance. Biblical repentance is like, man, I know this is wrong. I know I did wrong, and I want to get right with God, and I am repenting. And if you find yourself failing, you need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I've been messing up in this area. I know I shouldn't be doing this. And man, I just repent. One of my favorite phrases to say when you mess up is admit it, quit it, and forget it. Admit it, quit it, forget it. Admit it, God, I'm sorry I messed up. Two is quit it, I'm done with that behavior. God, help me, give me the grace so I don't fail in that area again. Give me the grace to walk through that failure. And then three is forget about it. Again, your failure does not define on who you are. You, in Christ, you can totally forget about your past failures. The Bible says that God forgets your sin as far as east is the west. If God can forget your sin, you can forget your sin. So don't let what you did 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 2 years ago define who you are today, because that is not who you are. You are who Christ says you are, and in him, you are righteous, the Bible says. You have right standing with God. You need to repent. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. And then the second thing I'd encourage you to do is you need to get some brothers and sisters or friends around you when you're feeling like a failure and wanting to quit. I call them faith buddies, which is really, really cheesy. But do you have friends that you can call on the phone and say, dude, I'm going through a really tough time. I just need some encouragement right now. Do you have people that can encourage you? Peter had this. I love this. After Peter failed, he probably thought Jesus would never use him again. Right? Christ was gone. He denied him. He was off. I'm never going to be used in ministry again. I walked around with Jesus for 3 years, and now it's all over. That was as good as it's going to get. But listen to this. When Jesus rose from the dead in Mark chapter 16, verse 5 through 7, it says this. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified, but he isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Look, this is where his body laid, and here it is." This is what an angel said. "Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there just as it was told you before he died." So basically, can you imagine, Peter's probably still weeping bitterly. He's probably still beating himself up. Christ just died on the cross. He probably thinks his life in ministry is over. And man, an angel shows up and tells these women to go back and tell the disciples that Christ rose. But not they didn't just say, tell all the disciples. They said, tell the disciples and Peter. And Peter. Why did that happen? Because they knew Peter needed to be encouraged and know that God still loves him, that God still had a plan for him, that God could still use his life in spite of what he did. And can you imagine the news when the women came back and said, Peter, guys, Christ rose from the dead, but specifically Peter, they wanted us to be sure to tell you, man, Christ rose from the dead and he is not done with you yet. And you need people in your life who can tell you when you mess up that God's not done with you yet. It's so easy to think that everything's over when we fail, but it's not. And I want to show you what's on the other side of your failure as we close. When you handle failure correctly, here's what can happen. When you repent and then you actually admit it, quit it, and forget it, and start getting people around you who can encourage you, watch what God can do in your life. So Peter was encouraged by his friends. And the next time we see Peter, I did want to say this because while we were worshiping, I feel like God put that on my heart, this on my heart. So my message is called, You Are Not Your Failures. But God really dealt with my heart during worship. Do you know that other people were not their failures? Other people are not their failures. And it's easy to beat ourselves up, but it's even easier to beat other people up about what they did. And maybe this is for someone specific, or maybe this is for everyone, but man, I just feel like if you judge other people based on their failures, man, the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. And if you judge someone, man, the Bible says you're a hypocrite, because you may not have done what they've done, but we've all failed, right? You may not have murdered someone like Paul did, but I'm sure you've messed up in other areas. Who are you to judge someone? And man, if God doesn't see your failure, if he sees you through the blood of Christ, who are you to see anyone else through any other lens? You are not your failures, and neither are the people that have failed around you. Show them the same love that you would and that God does and will show you. When you handle failure correctly, here's what happens. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, 41, it's the last time we see Peter after he failed. And he ends up preaching, and he's preaching to literally thousands of people, and it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. That sounds exactly like what he just did. and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, your children, and those far off who have all been called by the Lord your God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Instead of letting his failure define him, man, he repented, he got right with God, he got encouraged by his buddies, and man, he got up again. The Bible says that a righteous man will fall down 7 times, but get back up again. And man, when Peter got back up again, he preached and 3,000 people got saved in one message. That's pretty awesome. He went on to be one of the most used disciples in the entire Bible. That's what's on the other side of his failure. Here's what I know. I don't know what's on the other side of your failure, but I know it's something good. Man, in Christ, your future is always bright. But you can't let failure hold you back. And you know, the most exciting thing is you don't know how God wants to use you. God wants to use each of you in every whatever industry you end up in, whether it's business, whether it's church world, whether it's school. He wants to use you in a significant way to impact people for him. And if you won't let failure define you, I promise you that you'll get to see God do some incredible things in your life. So you are not your failures. Your failures do not determine your future. Your future is determined by God. I'll close with 2 scriptures that just to encourage you. One of my favorite scriptures in the area of failure is this. It's in Job. In Job chapter 42, verse 12 and then 16. It says, so the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. And then he died an old man, having lived a long, full life. God, it says, Job's second half of life was twice as good as his first. And here's what I see about people who let failure define them. They think that this moment and this failure is all that there is. And I'll just be real with you. I've seen people literally end their lives because they couldn't see beyond their failure. And high school students ending their lives with their whole future ahead of them. Man, and that failure, whatever was bothering them, was such a small, small piece of their life. But they let it consume their life so much so that they didn't go to God. Man, you have so much of your life ahead of you. I'm telling you, God has families planned for you guys. He has careers. He has unbelievable lives for you. High school is not all there is. Middle school is not all there is. Man, there is so much ahead of you to be excited about. And you might not love your life right now. You might not love where you are with God, but I'm telling you, if you will seek God with all of your heart, the second half of your life, the next half of your life, the rest of your life can be the best of your life in Christ. If you do not let failure define you. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And if everyone would just bow their heads and close their eyes, I just want to give everyone the opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe you're here and this is your first time hearing about God and you would say to me, Doug, I don't know if I have a relationship with God. What I love about that verse is the Bible says once you start a relationship with God, whatever you've done in the past ends. That old person, that old life ends, and you literally become a brand new person in Christ. And the Bible says that all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he died on a cross and rose from the dead for you. And Jesus will come into your life and you will never be the same. And if you're here and you'd like to make that decision, listen, it's not something you earn. It's not something you get by being a good person and never having failed, because all of us have failed. None of us are perfect. It's a free gift from God. God died for you on the cross because he loves you. And there's nothing you could do to earn it. So if you'd like to receive that gift today, if you'd say to me, Bubba, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life tonight. I want to have a brand new start. I'm just going to ask you to count to raise your hand on the count of 3. And I'm going to pray with you. And everyone in this room will pray with you. And Christ will come into your life. So if that's you, you can say to me, Bubba, tonight I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Would you raise your hand on the count of 3? 1, 2, 3. Awesome. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I made this decision in 7th grade. It was the best decision I've ever made. Anyone else? Well, if you raised your hand or showed up, pray this out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that my failures don't define me. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. I believe that he died on a cross and he rose from the dead for me. Jesus, I repent of my sin, and I ask you into my heart. And I thank you for coming. And I thank you that I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you guys just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed? I just want one more altar call. I just want to pray for you. But if I share tonight about failure and you would just say, that's me, Bubba, man, I'm having a failure. I had a failure. I've messed up. And man, I just can't get by. I just need help. Would you pray for me? I would love to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand right now just so I can pray for you corporately? Again, I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you. Thank you. Hands are going up everywhere. I will definitely pray for you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's pray for those raising their hand. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that failure does not have to define us, Father. Lord, I thank you that you loved us so much that you came and rescued us in our failure. And Lord, I just pray for those. Lord, your word says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And Lord, we just rebuke any condemnation, any lies from the enemy that these people are getting hit with. And Lord, I just pray that they would look to you and that they would cast all their care on you, all their worry on you, all their discouragement, all their depression, everything they're going with on you, Lord. And I thank you that you take it from them. And Lord, you just replace it with peace, Father. And give them a peace, show them a glimpse of their future, give them hope. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for freeing them from all of their fears. Thank you for freeing them from their failures, Father. So I thank you for that, and we thank you for a great night.